So how many are tired because you didn't, well, you guys are later. The other service probably struggled. And those of us that have been here since 7:30, we struggle, right? That 1 hour sure makes a difference. I say God blessed me with an hour less of sleep. Right? It's all a blessing. If we look at it that way. It can be a curse or a blessing. So, you know, it's almost, you know, we were just doing our partnership week last week. And we ended that on Friday with kind of an open house of areas in the church for people to have an opportunity to serve. And so each area represented their, each person responsible for each area represented their area, and we're sharing with anyone interested opportunities to serve in the church. And so that kind of led me into what I'm going to talk about today. And I'm going to talk about duty versus devotion. And, you know, where is our heart as far as are we doing our duties for God or are we devoted to God? And so think about what brought you to church today. You know, did you come here because you thought you had to? I got to go to church. It's Sunday morning. It was a sense of duty. Or did you feel obligated? If I don't come, somebody's going to see that I'm not there. They're going to call me. They're going to hound me. Did you feel that it's a responsibility to the Lord for all that he's done for you, if that's why you're here? Or is it possible to serve the Lord out of habit rather than out of love? And a lot of times we come to church out of habit, and we worship God out of habit. But we really need to be examining our hearts and find out or analyze why are we really here. Because we love God, and we want to worship God, and we want to serve God. So today on your notepads, write down duty versus devotion. And we're going to, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus was discussing with the Jewish religious leader the two great commandments of the scripture. And anybody, what are the two greatest commandments?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Good. You guys are getting enthusiastic. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then Jesus went on to speak about the Good Samaritan, which he used to show us how we're to love other people. And now he's using the story of Mary and Martha to illustrate how we should love God and honor God. And the story that we're going to read about today is in Luke chapter 10. It takes place in the village of Bethany, which is just outside of Jerusalem. And from what we can glean from this passage of Scripture, Martha lived with her sister Mary and their soon-to-be famous brother, Lazarus, and it appeared that Martha was a widow, and she was the head of the household. So here in the home is the setting of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and then Jesus and his disciples are coming for some relaxation, some rest, some R&R, away from the press of the crowds that Jesus was experiencing during that time. So here's a home that Jesus probably has been to many times, Mary and Martha's home, Lazarus' home. A place that he knew that he was loved and accepted and would feel welcome. And so both sisters, Mary and Martha, are excited to see Jesus in this story. But as we'll see here in a moment, they express their enthusiasm to see Christ in two different ways. And so we're going to start in verse 38 and 39 of chapter 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet listening to what he said. So here's the beginning. So, you know, people have varying temperaments. Some people are active. They're always needing to be busy. They're busybodies, you call them. They never sit still. And there's others that are just kind of mellow. And I used Terry and Kelly as examples this morning earlier. And Kelly's just this go-getter, and she's always moving around. And Terry's just kind of like laid back. And so they complement each other. So that's good. So there's nothing wrong with either trait. It's how we use that trait. But you know, there's people, we have different temperaments that way. And so Martha, in this story, she's that active person, that busybody. I got to get all this work done. And her sister appeared to be more of the thoughtful, relaxed, had the more thoughtful, relaxed nature. And so I believe that sometimes when we think about the story of Mary and Martha, we wrongly contrast them as though each Christian should make a choice either to be a worker like Martha or they need to be a worshiper like Mary. And so we think, which one should I be? And in doing so, we miss the point. The Lord wants us to imitate Mary in our worship and he wants us to imitate Martha in our work and achieve balance in both. So he's, you know, so when we start looking at this story, it's not about being the Mary or being the Martha. It's about taking the best of the two and bringing them into one. Yeah. So that's our goal. Mary is content in this story to sit at Jesus' feet and soak up the Word of God and not do, physically do anything. But her big sister Martha was looking around at all the guests, probably starting to get into a panic, needing to prepare this big meal, and obviously was a great hostess because she's done this many times. And she got up and began to prepare food for Jesus and all the guests that were at the house. And so Martha probably looked at herself and she said, what a privilege it is to prepare a meal for the Master. What an honor it is to do the work for the Master. And Mary, on the other hand, probably said, what a privilege to sit at the feet of the Master. What a privilege to learn from the Master. Is one attitude right and the other wrong? No. They're both good, of course. Duty and devotion are necessary in life, but there has to be a balance. You know, in every action, every relationship we have, every institution, if we look at the church, if we look at our marriage, if we look at the companies we work for, everything has a basic focus, and which is the reason it exists. And if it hopes to succeed, if it loses its focus, it's going to fail. So if you lose the focus on your marriage, on why you're married, and what the purpose of being married is, and becoming one, and raising your family, and you lose that focus, and you start focusing outward, your marriage is going to fail. If we lose the focus as a church of winning souls and bringing people to Christ and in worshiping God, the church is going to fail. So the point is that when we lose our focus, which is why we do what we do, then we're in trouble. And so this morning I want to talk about this story. I want to talk about what happened when Martha lost her focus on what she was doing. So I want you to write down loss of focus. And I'm going to, throughout here, I'm going to give you some things that lack of focus causes. And the first one is lack of focus causes self-pity. So we begin to pity ourselves. And so all of you ladies and men who entertain unplanned visitors that come to your house understand probably why Martha was a little bit flustered. Here comes a whole bunch of people. And now I got to prepare a meal. And she's feeling more and more frustrated as the time goes on. And in the first part of verse 40, it tells us Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had to be made. The word distracted is translated as being pulled away or dragged away. So Martha was dragged away by all the preparations that she had made or had to be made. So think about her. She was being dragged away or pulled away from the Spirit of God because she was distracted. She wanted to be at his feet as well. She wanted to hear what he had to say as well, but she was being pulled away by her stress of the duties that she had to do. And she was fretting about the meal, and that robbed her of her joy and her excitement to serve God because she was fretting. So we should, of course, take responsibility seriously. We should, the things that we do for God, we should take seriously. We should take the service that we do in church, the things we do here, seriously. You should take your job with your employer seriously because you're a witness to those around you. And it honors God when you put in a good day's work and earn a good day's money to support your family. And so we need to take those responsibilities seriously, but not to the point where we overestimate our importance. And so the problem here isn't what Martha was doing was wrong. It was the attitude that she had while she was doing it. So the problem wasn't her cooking the meal and preparing the meal and doing all these things. It was her attitude in doing that. Her problem was one of balance between going and doing and sitting and listening. She was not focused. And so my fear in saying that is that some of you out there who do nothing, bear with me here for a second, will gratefully say, amen, I can sit and I can worship and do nothing, right? And excuse yourselves from doing anything except from sitting. But there's a balance. Martha shouldn't have had this attitude of work, 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 and we shouldn't have an attitude of sit, sit, sit. There's a balance. So the truth is that there are too many sitters in our churches today. There are too many people that are not out preaching the gospel or not out serving God in a way that wins souls to the church. So I'm not going to say sitting is okay if that's all you do. But yes, we're sitting this morning and we need to sit and hear the word of God. But the difference between Martha and Mary is not that one served and the other didn't. They both were serving God, but one was serving out of duty and one was serving out of devotion. And in our daily lives, we can become so busy with everyday things that we neglect the most important things. I was thinking back about a cartoon series on television when I was a kid called The Jetsons. Remember The Jetsons? Everything, all these new inventions, and you think about in the future, we're going to save so much time because we've got all this new stuff. And so here we are, 20, 30, I'm getting old, 30-some, 40 years later. Huh? I'm 42. There you go. But, here we are, microwaves and computers and automated this and automated that, and we don't have to get up to change a channel on the TV anymore. We can use the remote, and we can even record another program that so we can sit longer and watch two programs. And, when I look back at the Jetsons, I think, man, in the future, everything's going to be just so much more efficient. We're going to have so much more time. But what's happened is that all these modern conveniences, they didn't produce more time for us. The fact is that we're still overworked. A lot of us are still overworked. We work too many hours. Stephen Covey, who wrote First Things First, uses this quote, and Alex will put it on the screen there. People expect us to be busy or overworked. It becomes a status symbol in our society. If we're busy, we're important. If we're not busy, we're embarrassed to admit it. Busyness is where we get our security. It's validating, popular, and pleasing. It's also a good excuse for not dealing with the first things in our lives. So busyness is a good excuse with not dealing with the things that we need to deal with in our lives. And Kristen came up to me after church and gave me the acronym BUSY. See if I can get it right. Buried under Satan's yoke. Buried under Satan's yoke is the acronym that she gave me for busy. And so a lot of times when we get into that busy attitude and that busy spirit, we're buried under Satan's yoke. We're no longer focusing on God and focusing on the things of God. So the first thing that Martha did here is loss of focus caused her to be self-pitiful. She was resorted to self-pity. And the second thing she did was she became angry with others. So loss of focus causes us to become angry with other people. Our world is so full of distractions. You can't miss a distraction. I get so frustrated at all the things that distract us. And the more pressure, the more tempting it is to focus on the urgent rather than the essential. So, Pastor last week was kind of talking about how sometime during the week, he's got to dart over and he's got to hold this plan up, and then he's trying to hold this plan up, and then all of a sudden everything falls, So we hear, in our lives we got the squeaky wheels, right? So we'll drop the important things and go to the loud things, even though they're probably not important. I think that Martha was, I truly believe that she wanted to honor Jesus that day. I believe that she began her work with the right attitude in her heart. And again, all of you people who have cooked big meals for big families know that when you do a meal, you may start with this great enthusiasm. I'm so excited to prepare this big meal for my family. But as time passes, you come to realize that you're running out of time, and the pies aren't made, and the potatoes aren't peeled, and the stuffing's not stuffed wherever it belongs. And so you can't possibly finish everything that you plan to do before your guests come. And then you start to get angry. You start to get mad at yourself for letting yourself get into that situation. You start to get mad at those in the house who are sitting and watching TV or coming into your kitchen, and you're shooing them out of the kitchen. So we start to get angry. And so Martha was a little bit like that day. The harder she worked, the more worked up she became. So even though her intention was good to begin with, she started working, and the harder she worked, the more uptight she became. Some people burn out when they work too hard. Martha was getting burned up. She was so angry. And it's bad enough to have everything to do, but it's even worse when you can think of someone who we don't feel is pulling their weight. And that's sort of where Martha was. She felt that Mary wasn't pulling her weight. Charles Hummel, in a book, Freedom for Tyranny of the Urgent, says, tensions and frustrations mount when we're performing the wrong tasks or trying to cram too many of the right activities in a given period. So we get so frustrated and we can have so much tension when we're trying to do the wrong things for the wrong reason at the wrong time. A critical spirit develops when we begin to judge and condemn others for what they do or do not do. Anytime you feel a wave of criticism gaining momentum in your spirit, remember that it's completely out of line as far as God is concerned. So if we start to become critical of other people, regardless of the situation, we're not in line with God. We're not listening to God or following God in our lives. You know what? It may be warranted to be a little bit critical, but we need to be careful of where our hearts are at. And so loss of focus caused Martha to become angry at others at that day. And lack of focus will also cause us to find fault with other people. It's so easy to find fault. And that's what this quote was just saying, to have criticism towards other people. In the second part, of verse 40, Martha finally explodes as she comes to her boiling point, probably out of the kitchen with her apron on, red-faced, angry, and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to get up and help me. Can you see her doing that? She was probably angry. And she doesn't even call her sister by name. She doesn't say, Lord, do you see that Mary's being lazy? She's like, my sister. In her defense, she probably has already done everything she could to attract Mary's attention and signal her that she needed help. And we all have ways to get messages across. We talked this morning about, you know, we clear our throats and our wives give us the look to give the message across, you know. We know what that look is. And it reminds me of a situation that we've all probably been in. We have guests over for dinner, and during dinner, somebody in the family starts talking about a situation that really shouldn't be talked about outside of the family because it's an embarrassing situation, something that was supposed to stay at home. So you try to get their attention to keep them from telling this embarrassing story. And unless you get their attention, or unable to get their attention in any other way, you start kicking them under the table, like, shut up, you know, stop it. And they continue telling the story. And on top of it, they make things even worse by saying, would you quit kicking me under the table? So we have a situation like that in this text when Martha can't get Mary's attention. And when what happens is in our lives, when people ignore us, we get irritated even more. And Mary was willing to face Martha's anger because she was sitting at the feet of the Master. And that meant everything to her at that point. And no one can force us to be devoted. It's a voluntary decision. So Martha found fault with Mary because she lost focus of what she was doing. Loss of focus also causes us to question God's care for us. Whether Martha had already gotten Mary's attention or not, she's totally exasperated when she speaks those words to Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me with all the work to do myself? Tell her to get up and help me. Martha was angry at Mary for being so selfish and angry, almost angry at Jesus for allowing that to go on, for allowing her to do all the work and Mary to do nothing. Because she was sure that if Jesus really cared for her, he would have told Mary to get up and help her. And today she would have maybe said, Lord, don't you know that this dingbat sister of mine is lazy and you're part of the problem because you're not telling her to help me? You're enabling that behavior and so tell her to get up and help. So you can kind of see the attitude that was probably going on in Martha's heart. And so whenever our service causes us to criticize others or ourselves, again, because we feel overworked, we need to examine our lives. And it's interesting how Martha links Jesus' care for her to his willingness to tell Mary to get up and help her. Martha thought she knew how Jesus should demonstrate his care for her. And I wonder, do we do that? Do we think, if Jesus really cares for me, he will do this? If Jesus cares for me, he will do that? And so we're starting to put boundaries or put Jesus on a box. And so Martha was in her mind saying, you know, if Jesus really cared for me, he would tell Martha or Mary to get up and help me. And, you know, a lot of times we've already decided what his care for us looks like. So then we just kind of stop looking for anything else. So part of Martha's problem was that she worried too much about what other people were doing. And a lot of times in life, that's what we do when we're serving God, or we're working, or we're just living our lives, and we see something going on over here, and we should be worrying about our relationship with God and our service to God. We spend too much time worrying or looking and seeing what other people are doing. In today's text, Jesus is by his refusal to do as Martha asked, demonstrated that although that she was doing valuable work, in a sense, he was telling her she shouldn't worry about Mary's business. Mary's doing what she should be doing. You're doing what you should be doing. And so it boiled down to the fact that Martha wanted to force Mary to serve Christ her way. She felt that if Mary was truly going to be serving God, she should be up cooking, not sitting at his feet. So loss of focus caused Martha to question God's care for her. And so we've got these things of loss of focus and focus on why we do what we do. And so how do we overcome that? The first easiest thing is to remember why we're doing what we're doing. What's the reason that we're doing it? And when we're serving God, why are we serving God? Are we serving God just because we feel we have to? Are we serving God because we want to make the pastor happy? Are we serving God because we see our friends serving God? Or are we serving God to serve God? And is our goal to worship God in what we do? When we're scrubbing the toilets, are we trying to make a man happy, or are we serving God? And it's so important that we remember why we do what we do. In verses 41 and 42, Jesus responds to Martha, and he says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen which is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So Jesus is replying to Martha in a tender way. He didn't rebuke her for asking for doing the preparations for him and the other guests. The first thing is he didn't reject her attempt to serve him. Martha's problem wasn't that she was preparing food for the guests to eat. That was necessary. But what her problem was is she put too much importance on it, and too much of herself into it. And today we still have to be careful that we don't let the necessary things that must be done get out of balance and distort us in our lives. And so the core of Martha's problem is that she's trying, first of all, as I said earlier, she's trying to impose her value system on Mary. And remember that Jesus here didn't tell Martha to do what Mary was doing, you know, so he's not going to tell Mary to do what Martha's doing. It was Martha's attitude that needed correction. Martha's work was both good and necessary. Yes, the meal had to be made. Yes, the church needs to be cleaned. Yes, we need children's workers. Yes, we need a worship team. Yes, we need Bible study leaders. And so all that work is necessary. But the thing is we have to cultivate both Martha and Mary in each of us. So Martha came to Jesus because she wanted him to lighten the load that she had on her that day. And he did lighten the load, but not in the way that she'd expected. You know, what he did is he told her that, you know, you're upset about all these things. They're not that important. They're not worth getting worked up over. He lightened her load. Martha expected her load to be lightened by putting Mary to work. When we forget why we're doing what we're doing, our life gets turned upside down. We start to lose focus. We start to lose direction. And we end up feeling like we're overworked and unappreciated. And then the bitterness starts coming in. And Mark Hollingsworth made a statement, "If we forget God while serving God, we'll probably quit God." And that's a powerful statement. If we forget God while we serve God, we'll probably quit God. And what does that mean? That means when you're serving in the church or you're serving for God, and you're really not serving God, you're serving man. You're doing things out of duty. You're doing things because you feel you have to. You're trying to please a person. We have the coffee shop, and we have a good number of volunteers down at the coffee shop. And you know, when I have a volunteer come to me and say, you know, I do this, so I want to do this for you. I want to help out for you. And I'm like, don't do it for me. Do it for God, because that's what this ministry is about. And if you do it for me, I'm going to fail you, because I'm going to disappoint you. And so when that happens, If we're serving in a ministry and we're serving to please a man and we get disappointed, we turn around and leave because the man disappointed us. So that's why the statement of forgetting God while serving God will probably quit God is so powerful. Because when we're serving and we're forgetting that we're serving God and we act or we behave like we're serving man, or our attitude is like we're serving man, we're going to be disappointed. They're going to fail us. Pastor's busy. He's going to fail you, you know, and that's not a bad thing. We're human. But if that's the reason that we're serving, then we're going to be disappointed. So when we keep our attitude right, we find that God is going to enable us to do what needs to be done with joy and satisfaction. Yes, we can clean toilets and be happy, right? He's going to give us the joy to do the things that we need to do. And, you know, unless we take time to spend with Jesus personally and privately, we'll soon end up like Martha. We're going to be busy, but we're not going to be blessed. You know, we're so busy doing things, but we're not being blessed because we're not spending time with God. So Martha wasn't wrong. Mary wasn't wrong. It's a case of where one did good and the other did better. And I remember a pastor, that a spiritual father, he used to tell me, and I can't say it slow because otherwise I forget it. Good, better, best, never let it rest till your good becomes better and your better becomes best.
Yeah.
Good, better, best, never let it rest till your good becomes better and your better becomes best. So we can always be improving, right? We can always be growing in our relationship with God. When we think that we're doing good, there's better coming along. And so we need to step up and do better. And we're doing better, you know what? There's more coming along. So we need to step up and do more. So good, better, best, never let it rest till your good becomes better and your better becomes best. There you go. I can't say it slow, but it means a lot. It's something that I keep in my mind. It's that is burned into my heart, and I like to live by that. So Mary wasn't wrong. Martha wasn't wrong. And the Christian life is learning to balance duty and devotion. Sitting without serving is powerless. So if you sit and you don't serve God, it's powerless. And if you serve without sitting, you have no direction. You don't receive the direction that God has for you. But serving after sitting produces power and balance.
Yeah.
And that's what we need in our lives. And so I don't want to end this story with these two sisters without understanding the part that they play in biblical history. One of the greatest confessions concerning the person of Jesus Christ was given by Martha later on in her life, in Jesus' life. And the setting was, for Martha's confession was the death of her brother Lazarus. And Jesus had just arrived and was seeking to comfort her, and he told her this. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And then Martha replied, and here's her confession. "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." She evidently overcame her propensity to be distracted long enough and sat at the feet of Jesus in her life to grow into a woman of profound faith. And so we also have more recorded about her sister Mary in the Bible. We meet her two more times at the feet of Jesus. In John chapter 12, which is one of the most moving pictures of sacrificial worship, I believe, recorded in Scripture, we're told that 6 days before Passover came, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, so there she is serving again, right? Probably with a different attitude at that point, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with them. Then Mary took out a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So here we see the same almost setting, right? Martha prepared the meal. Here's Mary doing the sacrificial worship at Jesus' feet. And she was criticized for doing that. But she didn't quit because of the criticism. She knew what she wanted to do for Christ. She was the one woman, or one of the women who were at the tomb on the morning of the resurrection. And so when you sit at the feet of Jesus, you need to learn not to quit because of hard feelings. You learn to turn the other cheek. And so there's things that happen, you know, when we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. We may get offended, or somebody may step on our toes. And so we can't have hard feelings. We need to turn the other cheek and go on. In Matthew 26:13, we find that Jesus had the words of compliments that he's to say to Mary regarding what she had done here. He says, "Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." So here we are today still telling the story of what Mary had done. So these two passages concerning Mary or Martha's confession and Mary's worship give us evidence that both sisters achieved a balance between devotion and duty. And you know, just to track off a little bit, you know, when you go to work and you do your job during the day and you're working for a man or a company, you know, it's so important that you keep the perspective that I'm a Christian and I'm an example, and God called me to this place of work for some reason. You know, I was talking to a guy last night who just got a new job, and he was stressed out, and he hated it, and he was mad at his boss, and da-da-da-da-da. And then as we were talking, he was sharing with me opportunities that he saw that God was giving him to share the gospel with other people. And because of his attitude, he didn't share it because he was too bitter and angry about his job. So when we have those kinds of attitudes and we feel like our function is just duty and we're serving man, then we can't truly effectively represent God. Dave and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about his job, and it's not maybe the most glorious job in the world, but he was talking about how he's had opportunity to share and witness and share Christ at the workplace, you know. And a lot of times you have to build that trust with your coworkers. They have to see that you're an example. They have to see that you're different. Because you know what? You can walk up to somebody and say, "You need to know Jesus," and they look at you and go, "Who are you?" You know, but they got to see Jesus in you. And so when we go to work during the week, it's so important for us to remember that we're still glorifying God. It doesn't stop when we leave church. It doesn't stop when we leave the doors. And you know, when we look at it, when we look at our church, even the things that you do here, that you, the way you serve in the church, everyone has such an important role. The Bible talks about us all being part of one body. The guy who stands out on the street and waves you in could make the difference in somebody's life. The wave that he says or the comment that he makes to somebody could make a difference. He could either be rude and chase them off, right? Or he could show love and make them feel welcome. I used the example this morning. A visitor could walk into our bathrooms and they're dirty and they're like, "This place is gross," and turns and walks out, right? Or we can have clean toilets and glorify God cleaning our toilets and be a testimony that we are you know, trying to reach the highest and best that we can. So every one of us that serve in the ministry has such an important role. Again, if it's the guy who has the flags out front, to the person at the door, to the person who's pouring coffee, to the person who's cleaning the toilets, it's all so important. Yes? Yes. That's a good question. I don't know that I think from how what I gleaned from that is that first of all, once she expressed her frustration to Jesus, his response was, "You know what? This stuff isn't as important as you're making it." You know, so I believe they got their meal. They may not have got the full meal. You know, think about Thanksgiving dinner at your house again. I don't know how to answer that question without digging into it deeper, but that's just kind of, you know, if something doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. And I think what Jesus was telling her was that, you know what, I know what you're doing is important, but you're making way too big a deal out of this. You know, we don't need the yams. We can live without the yams. So I guess I don't know if that answers your question or not. That's how, by the way, Jesus responded to her when she shared frustration about how she needed help. I think, you know, he was telling her, I was going to find that scripture again. "You're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed." And so she may then have have changed her mindset and, yeah, didn't serve the yams or the apple pie or whatever it may be. So anyway, back to my thought. Where was I? We're talking about serving in the church and how important that is, and how important it is to be a servant on your job. And, you know, the paycheck that you're earning, you're supporting your family with it, and you're paying tithes from it, and it all comes right back around to God, doesn't it? The job that God gave you supports your family and then allows you to, again, worship God with tithes and offerings. So he gives you the things that you need. So when you, as you go about this week, you know, think about and take some time to reflect, where's your focus in the morning when you get up? What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about all the non-essential things that are here today and tossed out tomorrow? You know, are we worried about all the stuff that really doesn't matter? You know, a while back I gave a message on worry, and there was a study done, 80% of the things that we worry about we have no control over. We can't change them. There's nothing we can do about them. 80%. Only 5% of the things we worry about we can actually do something about. And so imagine how many less gray hairs we'd have and how much less stress we'd have if we'd let that 80% of stuff fall off our back like a water off a duck's back. It's not important. We have no control over it. We have no control over, you know, so many of the gas prices tomorrow. You know, there's nothing we can do about it. So why stress? So we stress about so many things that are not important and where we should be spending time devoted in the presence of God. So instead of waking up worrying about the non-essentials in life that are here today and gone tomorrow, we need to spend time devoted in the presence of God. And it's important that on our own time, you know, those of us who do serve in ministry or you work your jobs, it's important to be filled with the Spirit and to spend your devotional time at home in the morning or in the evening or whenever you do it, so that you're full of God when you go to work and you're full of God when you go to serve. And so God, there's the balance. You're sat at Jesus' feet. You spent your time in devotions. Now you can go do the duties that you have to do. So there's the balance. So we need to have the right attitude. So we need to spend time at Jesus' feet, and we also need to spend time in servicing Jesus with the right heart. So let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you tonight for the story of Mary and Martha, and we thank you for the example that we see there, Lord. And I just pray that you'll just touch each one of us, Lord. Help us to evaluate the areas in our life where we are either serving you with the wrong motives, Lord. We're serving you maybe trying to please a person, or serving you because we feel we have to out of obligation. Lord, and I just pray that you'll touch everyone's heart here, Lord, today, and help us to want to serve you just because of you, just because of who you are, because you're the God that came to earth, and you're the God that died on the cross for us, and you're the God that gave us the Holy Spirit that's within us, Lord. And Lord, give us that desire to serve you just because of those things, because we love you so much, and we care for you so much, and we love what you've done in our lives. Lord, help us to want to serve, because when we serve, Lord, others come to you. And Lord, the service that we do here at the church or in other ministries, Lord, lead people to you. They lead people to find you, and their lives are changed. And Lord, those are the motives that we should have when we're serving you. It shouldn't be about work, or we shouldn't feel downtrodden, or we shouldn't feel oppressed when we're serving you, but we should be joyous because we know that we're building your kingdom and we're expanding, Lord, your kingdom. So we just thank you for that, and I just pray that you just put that on our hearts. And Lord, help us each one here this week also to remember the importance of spending time with you daily at your feet, setting at your feet and just either praying or reading the word or studying the word, Lord. Help us to remember how important that is. Show us how important that is. Lord, we see in our story today that Martha was all about work and not about devotion, Lord. And we see what happened when she lost that focus. So help us to be focused on you. Help us to worship you every day of our lives, Lord, so that we can be filled and go out and spread the gospel. Bless each one here today, Lord, as we go this week. Bless their week. Keep them safe, Lord. I just pray that you give everyone an opportunity to share your word. Give everyone an opportunity to share who you are and what you've done in their lives. We ask these things in your name. Amen.